This is Radio MD COVID-19 Daily, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. Welcome back to another Monday. It's the 11th. I hope you had a great weekend celebrating all the mother figures in your life. Later in our episode, hear about the relationship between COVID-19 and diabetes. And our healthcare hero is the former mayor of Nyack, New York. She's been working on many initiatives and Facebook groups to support her local hospital, Montefiore Nyack. And now for our news. With a hyper-focus on cleanliness and the way we interact with the world and each other, what is it like to navigate the world during COVID-19 with OCD? Radio MD's Scott Webb has more.
Living with OCD can be challenging anytime, but perhaps especially so during this COVID-19 period, as some aspects of the pandemic may trigger anxiety and repetitive behaviors for people with OCD, such as frequent hand washing and repeatedly checking the news. Additionally, COVID-19 may be causing people with OCD to worry more than usual about contamination, causing them to obsessively wash their hands and perhaps fear leaving home. Some of the recommendations for people with OCD are to limit their exposure to news and social media and to seek support and teletherapy if needed. Reporting for Radio MD News, I'm Scott Webb.
Okay, be honest. When was the last time you really got dressed? I mean, makeup, jeans, put together a cohesive outfit. With nowhere to go, the beauty industry is starting to feel the effects of the coronavirus shutdowns. Some people are taking matters into their own hands, sending sales of do-it-yourself hair color kits, hair trimmers, and nail polish soaring at retailers like Walmart in recent weeks. If people continue to wear masks, analysts told the New York Times that sales of products to enhance the eyes may increase, while sales of lipstick could slump. And in recent weeks, sales of skincare products surpassed makeup sales for the first time ever. Many of the confusion around masks stems from its two very different uses. With more on the specifics of why to wear a mask, it's Radio MD's Bill Klaproth.
So there still seems to be confusion on the real reason to wear a mask. A story in The Atlantic says their most important use for society is to prevent transmission to others. As you know, a key transmission route of COVID-19 is via droplets that fly out of our mouths. That includes when we speak, not just when we cough or sneeze. Now, a portion of these droplets quickly evaporate, becoming tiny particles inhaled by anyone nearby. Research shows that even a cotton mask dramatically reduces the number of virus particles emitted from our mouths by as much as 99%. And because we don't know for sure who's sick, the only solution is for everyone to wear masks. Models show that if 80% of people wear masks that are 60% effective, which is easily achievable with cloth masks, that is enough to halt the spread of the disease. For Radio MD News, I'm Bill Klaproth.
Community organizing is happening around the world right now as residents step up to help hospitals and other frontline workers during this pandemic. Jen Laird-White is one of those organizers and today's healthcare hero. She is the former mayor of Nyack, New York, and has been working on a number of initiatives to support her local hospital, Montefiore Nyack. Why did you start working with these Facebook groups and start community organizing to help your hospital?
Well, as a former mayor, I totally understand that, you know, when catastrophe happens, it's going to take a community to get through it. Nyack has always been a very engaged community, although I know that, you know, nationwide communities are stepping up to make sure that, for instance, first responders and hospital workers understand how much we value them. It became pretty clear early on that obviously the medical needs were huge and people started working, trying to figure those out. Nyack actually has this great group making masks for people. They've made over 10,000 masks. Another group of friends figured out that it would be really helpful to raise money to feed hospital workers, which would also help benefit the downtown restaurants that were closed because of COVID restrictions. I've been sort of involved with the hospital. I love the hospital. I live down the street from the hospital. We've had two appendix removed at Nyack Hospital. And they've always been there when we've needed them. I get my mammograms there. And so when we started understanding the really intense and stressful period that was going to be coming down the pike for all of our healthcare workers, we started first organizing porch noise the way they're doing in the city, you know, at 7 o'clock at night, people making lots of noise just to remind all those working on the front lines that we're out here and we value them and we know how hard it is. And frankly, that we value their families. And I think all the time about these poor families having to send the people they love, you know, into a battlefield. And then we had the idea of providing solitary music during the shift change. Again, you know, a little way of letting people know that we understand what they're going through. And it's been sort of wonderful. You know, musicians go up there either one at a time, or people who live together, husbands and wives, couples, and they play a very brief set during the shift change of a variety of music, from harp to trumpet. We've had world-class trumpet players. We've had Broadway singers. We've had lots of very popular local musicians. It's quite lovely. It every time I go up and film it, it makes me cry. I know I have a partner in this, Melody Partrick, who's the village's recreation director. She's doing a lot more of the filming than I am, but we're both, you know, it's just pretty moving. Watching people leave the hospital after a long shift, people arrive for what's going to be a long shift, and these musicians just standing across the street playing them in or out.
How have you seen the town of Nyack respond? What's that like?
Well, our community has been pretty amazing. You know, I know that people are donating in any way they can. I think there are 1,000 masks a week being produced by neighborhood sewers, and I know that people have donated lots of money, and all the local restaurants are donating food to this Nyack Nourishes program. From the music perspective, it's been awesome. People love it, but we're walking that fine line, because you definitely don't want an audience up there, you know, when we're all supposed to be staying home. And people really seem to understand that. They've been respectful. Every once in a while, you'll see someone walking their dog and they'll stop to listen to the music. I've actually noticed there's a pair of ducks that I think are having romance. It's romance season for ducks. And they sort of traipse out, and people come out onto their porches. And there's a house right near where the musicians play that has a bunch of kids. And every night the kids roll out onto the porch and clap and dance and smile. Some people have made it cocktail hour on their porch. So there's a community feel to it, aside from really just honoring the people working at the hospital and the first responders. There's also been, you know, drive-bys. The fire departments have done drive-bys. The police departments have done drive-bys. A local guy does the classic car show in Nyack every year, and he organized a bunch of classic cars to drive by. You know, it's a horrible time, but there is so much love and community spirit happening everywhere.
Jen, where can people go to watch these musical performances?
We created a Facebook page called Thank You Montefiore Nyack and First Responders, and we post everything there. The Village of Nyack is blasting out performances here and there. They do a newsletter for the community, just updating people with need-to-know facts, and they often include a performance. And then I think the Montefiore Nyack hospital page itself occasionally posts musical performances. And I think when this is all done, we're going to compile them in some way so that everybody can see how wonderful everybody was. I mean, these musicians are amazing. One of the neighbors has run an extension cord, so if you want to plug in an amp, you can just plug in. He's delighted. I mean, he's a former police chief, a local police chief, and he sits on his porch with his wife and their dogs. And so we'll compile it in some way so that not only the community can see how great it was, but also people working at Nyack Hospital and the first responders who are so busy working that they may not understand how much the outpouring of support was here for them.
And you can find a link to that group in our show notes. Those videos are really something special. Does having diabetes put you at greater risk for complications from COVID-19? Should you still be going in for routine lab tests? And what should you do if you have diabetes and are concerned you may have contracted COVID-19? Radio MD's Scott Webb talked to endocrinologist Dr. Linda Gaudiani, president of Marin Health Endocrine and Diabetes Center, about just this.
So speaking of protection, what should people with diabetes be doing now to prepare?
When I looked over the data to write some information for the hospitalists and put online about diabetes, I looked over the data that was published from China. and also the data that's come out of Italy. And although there was a slight increase in appeared risk of infection in diabetics across the board, it should be noted when we look at that statistic that their patients were very elderly. And so, of course, there were going to be more diabetics because type 2 increases with age. It starts most in the middle age and increases as we get older. So again, to go back to your first point, were those patients more susceptible or are there more diabetics coming in with COVID because they're also older, have heart disease, have lung disease, or just older, more frail? But even if you say, well, it's the same, that they're not at increased risk, what was very clear was that if you have type 2 diabetes and you get COVID, you are at twice the risk for needing ventilatory assistance, having to go on a respirator, and the mortality, unfortunately, is 2.2 times in both those cohorts of people that they've published about, because there's obviously more published data on China and Italy because they're a couple of months ahead of us in time. We're accumulating this data too, and unfortunately, we'll have all too much of it. We are already seeing this in data that hasn't come out in fully published studies yet, however, that the diabetic patient, once they come in with COVID, they are at increased risk. So to get to your question, it's super important that diabetic patients do everything they can to avoid infection. What are those things? The first thing is to practice the most stringent precautions for social distancing. And I think anyone with diabetes should really stay home as much as they can, send relatives to do the shopping. If they must go out, wear the masks, wear the gloves, but really to try to stay away from any source of infection. Certainly people who have traveling family members, no matter how much you love them. Secondly, they should avoid all unnecessary procedures. And that even includes lab that we think is important, like, oh, 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago, 6 months ago, my doctor told me to go for lab. Your doctor didn't know about COVID 6 months ago. Unless it's a life-threatening situation, and there are some people there on blood thinners, their cancer drugs, or where you call your doctor and they say, yes, you absolutely have to have that lab. But otherwise, I tell my patients, don't go in for any routine lab, any routine x-rays, any routine elective procedures. All of those have to be put off until we're COVID safe. And then just because in general, virus and bacteria prefer the high blood sugar environment, we want to try to keep the blood sugars during this time as closely managed and as well managed as possible. So we at Marin Health are doing telehealth visits. And proud to say we picked it up and learned it pretty quickly. And Health Center was very supportive in transitioning us to telehealth calls. Many people are afraid they can't manage it. And I will say that from young to really old folks, they're managing it beautifully. We give a little training session and people get on and we're really able to adjust their meds and address the issue of getting their diabetes as well controlled as possible to aid in whatever way we can with prevention.
That was an excerpt from the Healing Podcast from Marin Health. Hear the full episode, as well as many others, at mymarinhealth.org. And this has been Radio MD COVID-19 Daily. Tell us about a hero near you or a good story you've seen amidst the pandemic at COVID19Daily@radiomd.com. That, of course, is COVID19Daily@radiomd.com. I hope you have a great start to your week and join us for some more news tomorrow. I'm Caitlin White. Stay home and stay healthy.